Thank you for tuning in to Palau Way Radio. Our next program is Brother Steve's sermon.
Ali! I'm Brother Steve Mapes Tewid here on Palau Wave Radio. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Balao, or wherever you may be, I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Adubaklo bungamu. Adubaklo bungamu. I am so very pleased and thankful to be able to share with you the Word of God today, my friends, the encouraging Word of God. Oh, my friends, God has a hopeful word for you today, a word of restoration, a word of peace, a word of God's blessing, a word of encouragement. And it comes from the prophet Jeremiah. I've entitled today's message, Jeremiah and Restoration. Amen and amen. Oh, restoration. Restoring us, restoring our joy, restoring our strength, restoring our hope, restoring our faith. God remembering us, restoring us to that place of blessing. God's all about restoration. That's what Jesus is all about. Our divine Son of God, our Savior, He is all about restoration. You need some restoration today? Let's hear the word of the Lord as He speaks about restoration to our souls, restoring us, revitalizing us, giving us hope. Because Jeremiah lived in a time of upheaval, kind of like this pandemic spread all around the world. Actually, he lived in a greater time of upheaval than anything beyond which we have right now. Jeremiah was rejected time and time again. Even though God had called him, he was God's mouthpiece to the people, he was completely rejected. He knew what it was like to be an outcast. Perhaps we can relate to this at some point in our lives. He lived in a time of hardship. Jeremiah was persecuted. And when you hear his story, you can just relate to many of the parts of it. And I'm going to talk about some of the persecutions he went through, which are just, I mean, it was just terrible what happened to him. He was thrown down into a well, into this empty cistern. Well, actually, it wasn't empty. It started filling up with water. Thought he was going to drown. People were throwing rocks down on him. It was hard. It was difficult. And the nation had turned their backs completely on God. And it's kind of a warning to us of what happens when a nation forgets God. What happens when a people forget the Lord? What happens when we don't love our neighbor as ourselves? What happens when the love of men wax cold? Oh, my friends, we don't want to go there. So it's a bit of a warning to us, but in the middle of his difficulties, in the middle of the hardship that he was going through, God said, hey, there's a better time coming. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bless you. Don't give up. And there are things that Jeremiah did, remembering the mercies of the Lord, crying out to God, praying to him in faith. And God showed himself real. God was there for him. God gave him encouragement. And we're going to hear all about that in the message, Jeremiah and Restoration, here on Palau Wave Radio. But before we jump into the message, Jeremiah and Restoration, I want to read for you some power promises, my friends, to encourage you in the Word of God. And I just encourage you, get some Bible promises into you every single day. Oh, please, please. In the name of Jesus, get some Bible promises into you. If you don't know what Bible promises to read, I've shared, you know, I read a chapter from the Proverbs every day. Oh, God just speaks His wisdom, the encouragement that I need. So read the Proverbs. One proverb every day is what I would encourage you. That's an Old Testament book, of course, a wisdom book. You can get a Bible app on your smartphone. I use the YouVersion Bible app, Y-O-U version Bible app, and there's a Bible verse of the day. So read today's verse, read yesterday's verse, read the day before's verse, you know, get some verses into you. So you can have that encouragement and do it first thing in the morning. Find yourself getting on your knees, thanking God for His blessings, thanking God for life, thanking God for all that He does. Thank Him for His protection. Thank Him for His mercy. And be looking for all the little ways God is blessing you. I keep a gratitude journal. Every day I write five things that I'm thankful for, five little things, you know, that I'm thankful for. Thankful for the food, thankful for family and friends, thankful for the little ways I see, you know, God's moving in nature and His presence that's with me and a Bible story that comes to life and just thanking God and thanking God. Get yourself in an attitude of gratitude because, as we learn in the story of Jeremiah, what we don't want is to live lives of bitterness and jealousy. It's this downward spiral of muck and mud and just rips people apart inside, and we don't want that. And if we're not living lives of gratitude, you will move into a life of bitterness. It's the natural flow of things, okay? Weeds grow up all by themselves. God wants us to, He wants to cultivate a garden in our lives of blessing. And gratitude and prayer and songs of praise and worship, these are things that keep that garden growing. Otherwise, the weeds choke out all the good, and we don't want that. So, I'm going to read some power promises beginning in Isaiah, and I'm going to start at verse 5. Marangus. I am the Lord God. There is no other God. I will give you the strength that you need. I do this so that everyone from one end of the world to the other may know I am the Lord. There is no other God. I create both light and darkness. I bring both blessing and disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And I will send victory from the sky like rain. The earth will open to receive it and will blossom with freedom and justice. I, the Lord, will make this happen. Amen and amen. Oh, my friends, we have such a loving and faithful God. He sends victory from the sky like rain. He makes things blossom with freedom and justice. My friends, we need to be loving people. We need to be the people of the Lord by loving God and loving others. Oh, that His blessings may flow on our lives all across Baylau, in every hamlet, in every village, in every place, in every corner. Thinking about God, honoring God, loving Him and loving others, my friends, that's what it's about. That's the blessed life. And as we fall short, we ask God to forgive us. We repent of our sins. We repent of our sins. We confess, and He is faithful to forgive us. Oh, my friends, it tells us in 1 John how faithful God is to forgive us of our sins. He's so faithful and good. James and Peter 1 and 2, John wrote 3 and all. I sing these little Bible songs to remember where all the books are. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, this is power promise number 2, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promise and do what is right. He will forgive us of our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my friends, God will forgive us based on His faithfulness. And we need to confess, oh my friends, confess our sins to the Lord, and He is faithful to forgive us. God is so good. Finally, I'm going to read from Jeremiah. Actually, I'm sorry, Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. He wrote the book of Lamentations, which is a book about weeping because he was so sad. But God was faithful. God gave him restoration. This is what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, our last power promise before we jump into the message. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue. They are new like the morning, fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have, and so in Him I put my trust. Oh, God is so good. And then it says, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts Him, so it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for Him to save us. It is best if we learn this patience in our youth. Amen and amen. And then it closes by saying, the Lord is merciful. He will not reject us forever. He may bring sorrow, but His love is sure and strong, and He takes no pleasure in causing grief or pain. Oh, God is good. His unfailing love and His mercy continue. They are as new and fresh as the sunrise, and in the Lord we have hope, my friends. Hope. So with that, we're going to jump into the message, Jeremiah and restoration. So before I jump into this message about Jeremiah and restoration, I had to share just a little bit here, background about Jeremiah. So you may not know who Jeremiah is, and so, of course, people that know the Bible know that there is a book of Jeremiah, and he also wrote Lamentations. Many people believe he wrote parts of the Psalms as well, such as Psalm 119, which I've spoken about before, which is a beautiful psalm about the Word of God. You want encouragement in the Word of God? Read Psalm 119. It's awesome, my friends. Anyway, Jeremiah was one of the major writers in the Old Testament. After Moses, Jeremiah probably wrote more in the Old Testament than any other prophet. Some people talk about Ezra potentially writing the Chronicles, but Jeremiah wrote a lot. He wrote a lot. I believe it's around 37,000 words. It's a lot, and I may be off on that exact number, but he wrote a lot of the Old Testament. Let's just say that. Moses wrote the most. Jeremiah is right up there. I mean, there's five writers that they believe have written a major chunk of the Bible when you start including Luke in the New Testament and Paul in the New Testament, Moses and Jeremiah. I mean, you have a lot of the Bible right there, my friends. So Jeremiah is a major prophet. And Jeremiah, so he lived about 600 BC. So King David, who killed Goliath, by the way, you know that whole story of David with the sling and killing Goliath, and he ended up becoming king after Saul was king, and then Solomon was king after him. So David was about 1000 BC, okay? And so 1000 BC, Israel was united, and things were growing, and the kingdom was established, and God was prospering them under David, prospering Israel under Solomon. But this whole time, God had warned Israel against certain things. He had warned Israel against idolatry, okay? Their neighbors worshiped pagan gods, and God didn't want them doing that. He didn't want them worshiping these pagan false deities. He didn't want them turning to sexual immorality. You know, that's why God's Word talks about faithfulness, talks about God's faithfulness, talks about us being faithful to one another, faithful in our relationships, faithful in our families. Faith, faith, faith. Let's live lives of faithfulness. Let's be blessed by God, okay? Because when we do those other things like the pagans do, and the sexual immorality, and worshiping other false things, and being greedy, and all that other junk, our lives are going to go down this downward spiral, and we're going to learn our lessons the hard way. School of hard knocks. Okay? Unfaithfulness and cheating and all that stuff is going to bring us hurt and regret, and we don't want that. So let's live lives of faithfulness. Well, God was warning the people not to be like their neighbors, the pagans, not to do sexual immorality, but to remember to worship and love the Lord. In fact, he had given them this warning way back in Joshua chapter 23 when God was giving them the promised land. This is what it says. It says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 8, it says, be faithful to the Lord as you have been until now. There's a lot of faithful people in Baalau, but we need more faithfulness. The Lord has driven great and powerful nations out as you advanced. You know, there's been different people that have, you know, I don't want to use the word conquer, but have controlled the lands, the islands of Balao, and sometimes for good and oftentimes for bad, okay? But God's given us freedom now. So we can relate to this stuff. What else does God say through Joshua? It says, with God, no one has been able to stand against you. Oh, my friends, God will deliver us when we're with Him, when we're following and living by His Word. It says, any one of you can make 1,000 men run away because the Lord your God is fighting for you just as He promised. My friends, when we're faithful to the Lord, He fights our battles for us. I don't mean like physical battles, because we do have physical freedom in Balao. We're talking about the spiritual battles, okay? Going behind the scenes and softening hearts and opening up the way for you so you can be blessed in life. We have a powerful and faithful God. He's alive, and He is able. We need to put our trust in Him. So He says in verse 11 of chapter 23 of Joshua, be careful then to love the Lord your God. If you are disloyal and join with the nations that are among you, okay, and you start, basically he's saying, if you start doing their sinful, idolatrous, sexual immorality, if you start doing those things, it says in verse 13, you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive these nations out as you advance. Rather, they will be as dangerous for you as a trap or a pit. We're going to be talking about traps. We're going to be talking about pits further in Jeremiah, okay? And it says that they will be as painful as a whip on your back or thorns in your eyes. And this will last until none of you are left in this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Whoo! Then another warning, it says, if you serve and worship other gods, then in His anger He will punish you, and soon none of you will be left. You know, there are principles. People say, oh, that was God speaking to Israel. Let me tell you what, there are principles to live by, principles that God executes His justice by, and His blessings. And these principles apply to all nations, my friends. And we need to choose whom we will serve. In fact, that's what Joshua said. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And actually, all the people said to Joshua in chapter 24, verse 24, the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey His commandments. Well, that was true for a little while. But by the time of Jeremiah, oh my gosh, they had turned. They had forgotten to worship the Lord, their God. They had forgotten to love their neighbor as themselves. And the last straw came, oh no, this is really sad, but I got to share the truth with you because this is exactly what happened. The truth is shocking. The truth is, by the time Jeremiah was a prophet among them, they were setting up idols all around Jerusalem. They were not taking care of the poor and the people who were most vulnerable, such as orphans and widows and immigrants and people that needed help. They weren't helping them at all. And the worst part is, I even shudder to say this, but it's true. They were killing their babies. It says in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 30 how shocking it is, but this is what they were doing. In fact, I've got to read it so you'll know for yourself that I'm speaking the truth of the Word of God here, my friends. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 30, this is what it says. Jeremiah says, the people of Judah have done an evil thing. They have placed their idols, which I hate, in my temple and defiled it. In the Hinnom Valley, which, by the way, is just south of, on the southern edge of Jerusalem, by the way, they have built an altar called Topheth so that they can sacrifice their little sons and daughters in the fire. I did not command them to do this. It did not even enter my mind. So here you heard it for yourselves from the Word of God. They were killing their babies. And it's so sad. You think, how can a nation become so idolatrous and so vile that they would do such a horrible thing. But here's the truth. Today, we have many nations all around Belau that are doing these things. It's called abortion, and it's killing an unborn child. It is evil, and it is wrong. And we need to stand against that in Belau. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that Belau is a place that protects our unborn babies. Thank you, Lord, that we will protect the innocent. Thank you, Lord. May we continue to be a place that supports life. May we continue to be a place that stands for your love and your truth, that there might be freedom and blessings for everyone, not these degenerate things, God. These shocking things, may they have no part in our lives or culture in the beautiful islands of Belau. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. So the truth is, these terrible things were going on. And, you know, that's why we need to teach the next generation the truth. Watch movies like Unplanned, a good Christian movie about a young woman who was caught up in a lot of things. Anyway, it'll open up your eyes. Watch movies like Allison's Choice. Oh, that's a really good movie. Watch that with my wife, Julie, this past week, Allison's Choice, and she becomes pregnant, and she's having these conversations and praying to God, and God just opens up to her how much he loves her, how much he loves her unborn baby. And by the way, one of the great things in this movie, Allison's Choice, is they show some beautiful pictures of her baby, who's growing in the womb. I mean, they're beautiful baby. Oh, these precious children we need to protect. I'm so thankful that my wife, Julie, is a counselor to women, and they have the ultrasounds, and they show them the beautiful baby, and oh, my friends, life is so beautiful. And in fact, Jeremiah, one of the things that I love about this book, at the very beginning of Jeremiah, and I'm, of course, entitled the message today, Jeremiah and Restoration, God called him before he was even born. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, the Lord said to me, I chose you before you were born. I selected you to be a prophet to the nations. Oh, my friends. You see, God has a plan for Jeremiah. Before he had even formed him in his mother's womb, God had a plan for Jeremiah on what he wanted him to do in his life and the blessings God would give him and the word God would speak to him. And here's the awesome truth, my friends. God has a plan for you too. Oh, yes. Oi! Even before you were born, God had a plan for you. And even before you were born, God was forming you in your mother's womb. He knit you together in love, it says in Psalm 139. He saw us there. Formed me in my mother's womb, Marissa Tay Wid. Formed you in your mother's womb. Oh, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Life, my friends. He has a plan for your life. And the prophet Jeremiah lets us know, God's word through Jeremiah, that God has a plan for our lives. From our innocent beginnings, God has a plan for our lives. But we find that later on in life, Jeremiah got rejected by the people. Okay, he got rejected by their king, rejected by the religious leaders. He got rejected by his clan, rejected by the people. In fact, I think the only person who probably didn't reject Jeremiah was his mom. Now, it doesn't tell us that, but one day up in heaven, we can meet Jeremiah's mom and say, hey, when I read this story, everybody rejected Jeremiah. The king rejected him because he was speaking the truth, speaking about God's love, calling people to repent. The king rejected him. Religious leaders rejected him because they had become greedy and so caught up in traditions that they weren't walking with God. They didn't have a relationship with God. They were just going through the motions. His people rejected him. So we can ask Jeremiah's mom, hey, were you being nice to him? Did you listen to him? Or did you reject him too? I'm hoping that she says, I'm the only one that stood with my son. I'm hoping that she says that. But we don't really know the story about her mother. Doesn't talk about that. But one day we'll learn all of these things. Anyway, the people of Israel rejected Jeremiah because he saw all these terrible things going on. He saw their society degenerating, okay, into this muck. And that's why we need to love the Lord, love our neighbors, and yes, choose virtuous and God-loving people, God-fearing people to be our leaders. And my friends, you know, that responsibility is on us to choose God-fearing people, God-honoring people to be our leaders, so God will be honored. And that we can honor God as a nation. Thank you, God, that we've had leaders that love the Lord, that believe in the Bible. Okay? This is very, very important. Who say Palau is a Christian nation? This is very, very important. But anyway, getting back to Jeremiah, he was completely rejected. And so there's a lesson to be learned here. Perhaps you're in a place where you felt rejection. Perhaps you're in a place where things are really messed up, because things all around Jeremiah were completely messed up. Completely messed up. Maybe things are messed up in your life too. We can look at the example of Jeremiah, how he drew near to the Lord. How the Lord heard his prayers. God didn't give up on Jeremiah, was always there for Jeremiah. Okay? Because the truth is, we can have messed up lives ourselves. Maybe our job is a mess. Maybe we have a relationship that's in a mess. Maybe we're in a financial mess. Maybe you're working on a project that's a mess. Okay? And so we look at these things around us that are a mess and we're like, oh man. Okay, I can't change my spouse. I can't change my boss. I can't change anybody around me, and things are a mess. So what can you change? Well, my friends, you can change you. You can change you. You see, Jeremiah's situation was an absolute mess, okay? But he knew he could be better. He knew he could draw near to the Lord, and he knew that he had a source of hope and a source of love. And he tapped into that source of love and hope by submitting and surrendering to God. Submitting and surrendering to God. I want to show you here in Lamentations chapter 3. I want to talk about how trapped he was, how difficult it was. So things got so bad, he started prophesying to the king and prophesying to the people in Israel that God was sending judgment. God was going to send punishment if they didn't repent. And repent means turn and walk in a new direction. The Hebrew word shub, and by the way, had the blessed privilege of studying this in seminary, the Hebrew word shub means turn. It means you're walking and you need to turn. You need to walk in a new direction. Return to the Lord. Turn from the direction that you're going. Return to me, the Lord. That's what God is crying out to the people. Shub. Turn. Return unto me. Walk with me, the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who formed you in your mother's womb. Walk with me. I want to bless your life. Walk with me. I have a plan for your life. Walk with me. I have forgiveness for you. Walk with me, the faithful and loving and eternal God who created you. Walk with me. I'm calling to you now. Listen. Listen. Turn and walk. turn and return unto the Lord. It's not too late for us. It's not too late for us. So what did they do to Jeremiah when he gave him that message? Did they say, oh, thank you, Jeremiah, so long. Oh, thank you for sharing that message with us. Is that what they said to Jeremiah? The king, the people, the religious leaders, his clan? Is that what they said? Diak. When they disagreed with people in those days, if somebody was disagreeing with them, and they disagreed with them, you know what the mob would do? And there's mobs going around in modern societies now. You know what the mob did? They would throw people into a well. Throw people into a well, and that was not well for them. Okay, little pun there. They would throw them into a well. They would throw them into a cistern, which is a holding tank for water. Okay, we have those around Baalau. There are cisterns. In fact, in Nerbaet, there's a giant underground water tank from World War II that the Japanese had built. And you might remember when the water lines had broken and things, people were using these water tanks. Okay. When my mom was a girl, growing up in Nerbaet, they would swim in that water tank, okay? It's there in that area near, I don't want to get into stories about just underground water tanks. But needless to say, they threw Jeremiah into a well. They threw Jeremiah into a well, and they persecuted him. Maybe you've gone through times of persecution. Maybe you've gone through times of rejection. I think many of us have. Maybe not to the extreme that Jeremiah has gone through. But you understand what it's like to be an outcast. Perhaps you can relate to some parts of this. I'm going to read this to you, what happened to Jeremiah. So you can understand, he went through hard times and his life was a mess. But God showed him a better way, showed him encouragement. This is Brother Steve with the message, Jeremiah and Restoration. I am now in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and I am now in verse 52. He says, I was trapped by my enemies who had no cause to hate me. Isn't that sad? There are some people that got too much hate in their lives. And Jeremiah was trapped by some of these people. He says, they threw me alive into a pit and closed the opening with a stone. Water began to close over me, and I thought that death was near. But from the bottom of the pit, I cried out. And by the way, not only did they throw him into this pit, but it also says in the Bible that they threw stones on him. Can you believe that? How horrible that is. He's down there in this well. They're covering up. Water is filling it up. They're throwing stones on him. He's alone and isolated. But it says, from the bottom of the pit, O Lord, I cried out to you. And when I begged you, you listened to my cry. And you heard. And you answered me. And you told me, do not be afraid. Amen and amen. Oh, my friends. Then Jeremiah says, you have come to rescue me, Lord, and save my life. Oh, judge in my favor. You know the wrongs done against me. Oh, you've come to rescue me, Lord. You hear my prayer when I cry out. When I cry it out and I beg to you, you heard me. You answered me. And you told me, do not be afraid. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have in life when we're going through different messes in life, like I say, life can be a mess sometimes. Okay, we live in a broken and a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve bit that fruit, things have been a mess. And things only get better, my friends, when we're trusting with the Lord. Loving him and loving others. That's what we're put here to do. Not to live lives of bitterness. Diak. To live lives where we forgive because God has forgiven us. To live lives where we cry out to God in prayer, just like Jeremiah. And what did God tell Jeremiah? He says, do not be afraid. So one of the number one problems that we have by far is being afraid. People fear the unknown. And it can become paralyzing to the problems that you face. And then the mess you're in gets even worse. And we don't want that. So God says, and I've said it many times here on Palau Wave Radio, as I quoted also Pastor Rick Warren in his message, When Your World Falls Apart, Part 3, he talked about, you know, in the Bible, it says over 365 times, do not be afraid. Do not fear, God says. You see, if we have the God of creation, if we have the God who spoke us into existence, who spoke this world into existence, the God of heaven and earth, the God of love manifest through His Son, Jesus Christ, and if you believe in God, and you have faith in God, you should not fear. Now, we do have our moments when we're afraid, so that's why we need to be crying out to God, praying to God, remembering Him, remembering His love, remembering His faithfulness. Ann Landers is a columnist who wrote a generation ago, in case you recognize that name. She wrote a column where she would, in the newspaper, nationwide, nationally syndicated columnist, and she literally got 10,000 letters a day from people seeking advice. They were asking her advice about a relationship and what to do about a job and what to do about this and what to do about that. Well, they asked Ann Landers, they said, you know, what are people the most concerned about? Okay, what do they write you the most about? And she said, by far, the number one thing that people have, the number one problem people have is fear. Okay? It's fear of, you know, just fear of whatever. Fear of loneliness, maybe fear of death, fear of loss of this, loss of that. People don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a lot of chaos in the world, so people have fear. My friends, we have a God who is a solid rock. We can build our lives upon Him. Jesus says, a person that doesn't listen to His words is like somebody who goes and builds their house on the sand, and then the waves come and crash against it, and what happens? That house falls down. But Jesus says, if you build your lives on Me, you build your lives on My words, then you're building your house on a rock. When the waves come and the sea and beats against that house, it's going to stand because it's built on a solid rock. Jesus Christ, our solid rock, the cornerstone of salvation, our God, the God of heaven and earth, He's awesome! And He will deliver us over and over again. So Jeremiah was going through this difficulty. And so what did he do? Number one, he asked God to relieve his fears. So point number one, we ask God to relieve us from our fears. He was in the pit. He was crying out. God delivered him from his fear, and God says, do not be afraid. You know, as I was thinking about Jeremiah being in this pit and people throwing stones at him and the pit filling up with water and God saying, hey, don't be afraid. God delivered him. God heard his prayer. God delivered him from that pit. And you know who ended up, metaphorically speaking, falling into a pit of judgment themselves? The king and the people that had rejected God and weren't listening to Jeremiah, the ones that were persecuting Jeremiah, they're the ones that ended up being judged. But God delivered Jeremiah. God helped Jeremiah. Lived a long time. God blessed his life. So we got to cry out to God in the middle of our difficulties, in the middle of the challenges that we face. I'm reminded about another prophet of God who was thrown into a pit. Remember the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? Okay, more chapters written about Joseph and that whole account when his 10 brothers threw him into a pit. Actually, 9 of them did. One of the brothers, Simeon, wanted to save him, but while he was away, the other brothers sold him as a slave, okay? Oh, it was bad. It was bad. Then they had to make up this story that a wild animal had killed Joseph, and all the while, Joseph went from slavery to being Potiphar's servant to advising the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to becoming second in command of all of Egypt, to becoming the vessel by which God blessed not only Egypt, but all the nations around. You see, God provided deliverance for Joseph because Joseph was faithful to God. He cried out to God and God heard him. God delivered him from his fears. And my friends, when you turn to the Lord and you pray to the Lord and you trust in the Lord, you begin to see the hand of God in your life helping you, blessing you, opening up your eyes to all the little ways God is blessing your life. That's why Brother Steve says, keep a gratitude journal. You'll see these things, God blessing your life every single day. You will see God's hand of blessing. You need to open up your eyes. Okay, Joseph didn't get caught up in this whole thing of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and revenge. Diak, he didn't live that way. He forgave his brothers. What about Jeremiah? God delivered Jeremiah. God delivered Jeremiah from his fears. And then God promised Israel and spoke to Jeremiah about restoration, my friends. Restoration! That's why I entitled this message, Jeremiah and Restoration. So point number one, ask God to relieve you of your fears. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, David prayed. He says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. Amen and amen. And God will deliver you from your fears as well. I would say in the name of Jesus, he is faithful. Number two, believe that God will restore your life to wholeness. You see, God was promised that Jeremiah would restore Israel and set him free. And that's what God did. He didn't stay in the pit. In fact, I mentioned how the king and those that were being mean to him ended up being the ones who were judged, okay? I got to remind you of something here, my friends. Your happy days are not over, all right? Your happy days are not over. You are not beyond recovery. You are not beyond forgiveness. You are not beyond God's blessing. You see, God's arms are big and loving, and you can't get beyond God's reach. He is there for you. And in fact, he will never let you go. But fear, F-E-A-R, I've heard it described this way. False evidence, okay, appearing real. It appears real, but it is false evidence. We can't be living our lives in fear. Diak, none of that. Jesus Christ is all about deliverance, all about restoration. Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Apostle Paul writes, if any man or woman, I would say, is in Christ, is a believer in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And point number three, I must expect Jesus to restore my life. Oh, let's pray a prayer of restoration. I'm going to close with a couple quotes about restoration, and then we're going to wrap it up here on Palau Wave Radio. There's a little passage about all the promises of restoration that God gave through Jeremiah, and it's in Jeremiah chapter 32. I want to read you this little promise. This is what the Lord God says. It says, the people are talking about judgment. The people are talking about difficult things, but this is what God says, the God of restoration. I am going to gather the people from the countries where I have scattered them, and I am going to bring them back to this place to live here in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them a single purpose in life, to honor me for all time. I'm going to pause there for a moment. My friends, you have a single purpose in life too. That's to honor and love the Lord and to love others. God just said it here in His holy word. I will give them a single purpose in life to honor me for all time. For their own good and for the good of their descendants, I will make an eternal covenant with them. I will never stop doing good things for them. And I will make them fear me with all their hearts so that they will never turn away from me. Another translation says to honor me with all their hearts, to have reverence for the Lord. I will take pleasure in doing good things for them, and I will establish them permanently in this land. I will restore the people. I, the Lord God, have spoken. Amen and amen. I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, we've just finished the message, Jeremiah and Restoration, here on Palau Wave Radio, and I pray that everyone hearing this message may know that there is hope, may know they can find restoration in you. Oh God, Jeremiah's life was a mess. He was rejected. He was persecuted. He was going through hard times. From deep in a well where stones were being thrown on him, where water was filling up, God, you delivered him. He cried out to you in prayer and you heard him. God, we cry out to you in prayer now. Lord, hear us. God, deliver Balau. Deliver us. Not because we're perfect, because we're not, but because of your faithfulness and your love, and because of our desire to follow you and to have our children follow you, to honor you, Lord, to love you and to love others, to protect the innocent, Lord, to stand up for what's right. God, by your Spirit, enable us to forgive others, enable us to help others, enable us to protect the innocent, that we might be a nation that honors you, that I might be a person that honors you, that we might have your blessings, and that you, God, would drive out all fear in the name of your Son, Jesus. Drive out all fear from our lives and from our land, we pray. And remind us every day to cry out to you and to pray to you, to have your word in our lives, that we might be blessed day after day, because you love us and you're faithful, and just like Jeremiah, you have a plan for our lives. Thank you, God. And I ask these blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. This has been Brother Steve on Palau Wave Radio with the message Jeremiah and Restoration. And I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Adubak lobungamu. Adubak lobungamu. Amen and amen.